Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio On Location. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Our location is Grand Traverse Industries in Traverse City, Michigan. Let's have a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for who you are and the compassion you have for all people, that you treated all people as equal and uplifted them. Be with us as we look at Grand Traverse Industry and the people who serve here and the people who receive services here. In Jesus' name, amen. My co-host today is Austin Darga. Welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me, Tom. Glad to be here.
Your claim to fame is being a Strong Tower Radio listener.
Oh, absolutely, and an avid one at that, absolutely. I just love all of the great work that you guys are doing, serving the communities and serving the name of the Lord, and I can't ask for anyone better, so I'm very, very proud and happy to be a part of your family, and Strong Tower Radio is my radio companion.
Amen, amen. And Austin, I want to say, I told you a little bit earlier that you are also a co-producer of this particular episode.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm very proud and happy to do that and tell you all about the great things that we have here at GTI and to be a help to Strong Tower Radio as well.
Absolutely. And I wanted to share this with our listeners. Actually, radio is a very personal medium. You can say listener, even though there's multiple listeners. But I just want to share with you that we serve the public interest.
Yep.
And other people can become producers, co-producers, just like Austin is doing for us today. And what that does is you propose a program idea, you put together the purpose, and you can also say the individuals, and we can talk about producing a radio program just like Austin has done here today.
Yeah, and the one thing that I can tell you, Tom, is my biggest passion in life has always been, for as long as I can remember, radio. I've always been fascinated about how radio serves the community and interacts with the people. So I'm just very, very thankful in the name of the Lord to have this opportunity with you today.
Well, you also, you're a media man in your own right.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners a little bit about your podcast.
Okay, so my podcast is called The Way I See It, and our main focus on that program is to focus on disability. So I will either interview somebody who has a disability or somebody who is involved in an organization helping people with disabilities on a personal level to allow them to share their story about what they do for the community or what their disability is to that they would otherwise not have the opportunity to, but to also educate people on just how beneficial and beneficial and useful people with disabilities are in our local communities, just like anybody else.
Absolutely. Could you tell our listeners how they could access your podcast?
Yes, absolutely. So to access The Way I See It, it's on all podcast platforms. So wherever you get your podcast, that includes Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Let's see, we have LinkedIn and also Apple Podcasts as well. So just go to any of those podcast sites and search for The Way I See It with Austin Darga.
All right. Austin, would you introduce our other co-host?
Yes, absolutely. So sitting to my left, Tom, is our program director and the producer of The Way I See It podcast, Micah Haven.
Welcome, Micah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
And it really takes a team to do these productions, and you are a co-producer also.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. I'm honored.
And you helped put together the people we're going to contact. You worked with your administration. We have a fourth person in the room at this time, and could you introduce her?
Yes. So this is our CEO and executive director, Cindy Evans.
Cindy, welcome to Strong Tower Radio On Location.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, Cindy, would you tell us about the Grand Traverse Industries?
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit organization here in Traverse City since 1974. We provide services and programs for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And that's a lot kind of rolled into that, but you know, part of what we do is create paychecks and smiles for individuals.
Paychecks and smiles, but you also provide services to a value to employers in the community.
Absolutely. We are a piece of the fabric here in Traverse City, and believe that, you know, we are, make a difference.
And we'll probably talk to other people along the way, but you help business owners fill and profit and nonprofit to fill needs that sometimes they can fill no other way.
Yeah, so one of the pieces of what we do is creating employment opportunities, and with that it falls in a couple different categories because we have manufacturing that we do here ourselves, that we create work and work with partners all over Traverse City to do packaging and assembly type work, but we also work in the community at different businesses providing employee labor. So we take crews out that go out and do work for our community as well.
Would you mind telling us, your organization is 50 years old. That means that you have stability and you have a purpose and the community recognizes that.
We have a great community that is very supportive of us and what we do. Our business partners, we have longtime business partners, but they believe in the mission and the people, and are just supportive of the mission work that we have.
How did the organization start? Every organization has a story.
So, to go back to the very beginning, it really started with parents. It was a grassroots effort.
They were motivated.
They were. This was around the time that the state hospitals were being closed.
And there was a very large state hospital here in Traverse City.
Yes, absolutely. Very large population. And so when that institution was being closed, there was this big push to put everybody out into community settings. And so we were one of those settings that kind of was created from that need. And parents wanted a place where individuals, where their children could go and be themselves and earn a paycheck and do meaningful activities and be in a place that's community with their peers.
I understand that you have a story yourself. You were going to come here for a period of time and it was going to be a stepping stone to someplace else.
Yeah, how I ended up in this work, I didn't know anything about a disability. I just didn't know anybody. I didn't, it wasn't a part of my thought process, it was kind of God directed, but I needed to get elective credit to finish my bachelor's degree, which was in graphic design and advertising, and I had a whole plan. I was going to be going to Chicago. I wasn't. This was not even close to anything I had in my thoughts.
But God has other plans.
He really does. And I just needed an elective credit, and somebody had said, hey, go to GTI, they'll hire you for internship. I came in and had no clue what I was walking into, and I was, an intern that started at the very bottom, and the second week on the job, they had given me the paychecks for everybody to go hand out, and their concept was, well, this is how you'll learn everybody's face with a name, and you'll hand out the paychecks. And as I began to hand out the paychecks, and I could see just how excited people were to get that money, what it really meant to them. It was more than what was even in the envelope. It was just the opportunity to be able to do it and to show. I mean, they would rip their envelopes open as fast as they could to show me. They were so proud of what they were making. And literally, there would be some who would cry. There would be, they would jump. And it just
sold
it,
you.
It captured my heart. And I just never left. Just never left. So that's
job.
The short story of how I ended up here.
So are there other organizations like Grand Traverse Industries around our state? We have the Strong Tower Radio covers two-thirds or more of the state of Michigan. What would our listeners find in their area that they could connect with?
There are organizations throughout the state. We're usually called community rehabilitation organizations, or CROs, currently. That term will change all the time, and everybody's got a different name, but for the most part, yeah, there are many organizations through our state that do this work in one form or another, and in different, you know. The interesting thing around our services and our organizations is they're built around community. So if you've seen one CRO, you've seen one, because each one is quite a bit different, yet they still have the same mission of doing the work. It just is built around what that community has and needs and wants.
And what can our listeners do as either a business owner or a nonprofit to interface with Grand Traverse or other organizations similar to yours?
There are many ways to get connected. You know, we are always looking for new business partners that that have needs and are looking for a way to also make a difference in their community. We're not just a manufacturer, but we're a manufacturer that makes a difference in people's lives, right? So if that's an interest in yours, that it's not just business, but it's also going to make a difference, then you should connect with us. But we also, you know, are always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for ways to participate with our community. We're always looking for events to be a part of. We're always looking for volunteer opportunities. We want to be as actively engaged in our community as we can and to benefit our community, because we truly believe that all people, whether you have a disability or not, have value.
Yes.
That you have something to give, that there is something unique about you that God has put in you that we need to share. And so we want to make sure that our team members who have disabilities also have those opportunities in the wider community, because they have something to share as well.
Wow.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Cindy. We have several people on your staff that we need to talk to. Micah, who are we going to talk to next?
We are going to talk to Kelsey Matthews.
Okay.
She is one of our caregivers in our day program. Before we do that, though, I'd love to hand things off to Austin here real quick.
Yes, and so we just want to ask everybody to pray for Grand Traverse Industries as we are doing they're doing such amazing work providing for the community. And so we are facing some funding challenges right now. And so what we want to request to the rest of your fellow listeners, just pray for Grand Traverse Industries on a daily basis. Tell your friends and neighbors about us. And just pray for Grand Traverse Industries and The Way I See It. And also another thing real quick, Tom, about the podcast that I wanted to mention that I'm really proud and honored for is that back in early December during the holiday season, we had 180 subscribers, but just shortly after the new year, we added on 11 more, and so we're now up to 191, so that's nearly 200. So our goal for 2026 is to have 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year. So if any of the rest of your fellow listeners happen to know about the program, tell your friends and neighbors about us as well, and click that subscribe button once again for The Way I See It podcast with Austin Darga. And we ask that you please pray for The Way I See It and Grand Traverse Industries.
Absolutely. Our next guest is Kelsey Matthews. She's the program director here at GTI. Tell me a little bit about your role in the day program. What is a day program?
Hi. Okay, so I'm actually a caregiver. So I help with toileting and feeding. I help with activities, and I go on community outings. We go like bowling and to the movies and anywhere really, the library and stuff. And we really love bowling, which we just started recently doing again. Really just to like make sure that they're having fun and feel safe and accepted here.
Very good. It's interesting, as you mentioned those things, I'm sure that our listeners, as well as myself, was a little surprised at some of the roles that you have. Mm-hmm. Many employers don't provide those particular services.
Yeah. We take pride in really, you know, taking care of their needs as well as, you know, their wants and what they expect out of us.
Here's a question for you. Why do you love caring for people with disabilities?
Many reasons. So first, I really love to just see their smiles on their faces and to see how happy they are and how much fun they have when they're here. That's enough to make you happy that you work here. I also just love knowing that we're making a difference and we're making meaningful connections with them, and it's just great.
You take care of their physical needs. Do you take care of some of their social needs?
Definitely, definitely.
Is there sometimes, is there activities that you do?
Definitely, we do karaoke, which is a social, you know, a social group that they love being a part of. They all dance together, and they really love that and come together, and it's a fun time.
What do these people teach you?
So they definitely teach us patience. But really, like, humility, empathy, compassion, and just to really appreciate the unique perspectives and talents of each person.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And I have, you can go back in the archives of Strong Tower Radio a couple of years ago, and I've gone to a blind camp. And after you've spent a week at a blind camp, you have a whole new perspective mm-hmm. on life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You do.
Well, Kelsey, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
And thank you.
Thank you for what you do here
so
at GTI.
Thank you very much.
Micah, who are we going to visit next?
So next we're going to chat with Becky Dornoff. She is a parent Kelsey, who you just heard from, provides services and care for many of her children.
You said many, not just one.
Yeah, she has many.
She must be a very special person.
She's a legend in our community, yeah.
This is the one and only Becky Dornoff. She is, as Austin said, a legend in this community and certainly here at GTI. So, Becky, thanks for being on the show.
Well, no problem. I'm always willing to work with Austin and then be able to talk about what great things they have in GTI and how they support our community with people with special needs of all levels. And I've had a number of kids, I think I had some foster kids back in the day that came too, and this new building is so wonderful. And I've had some of my higher functioning children who we've adopted a number, and they learned wonderful skills and now are working in the community on their own, you know, and they have, of course, they have their supervisors at work, but they do really well. And then we have a number of more impaired children, very severely, some of them, and they all get attention and activities, and they really try to make them happy, but to teach them new skills, and they take them out in the community and do things. I mean, it's just an absolute, and my kids just love it. I've never had a kid that didn't love going to GTI, you know, and all the friends they make, and the new alley room is where a lot of my special kids, and my grandson is now too. My daughter adopted a special needs boy, and he's there too.
So that's generational.
Generational, yes. So it's really nice, and it's so supportive, and it makes them happy. It teaches them lots of skills and how to get along with other people, which is a little harder for some like our Molly than others, but they're working on it, you know.
You know, it's interesting. It takes the village, as it's been said, and the parents can do a certain amount. Special needs parents have additional responsibilities short-term and long-term. And it's interesting how people, just speaking in family situations, that sometimes members of the family work differently with people outside the family, and sometimes they can get them to do things that the family can't get them to do, just speaking from experience. Now, this is your first rodeo, Becky, and we have an experienced interviewer here with Austin. What is one of your famous questions for asking Becky, Austin?
You know, how does she do it? I mean, she does such amazing work and impressive work, just like Grand Traverse Industries does with serving the community and helping those who are in need and just need that love and care and support that they so deserve, just like the rest of us.
Now, have you interviewed her for your podcast, The Way I See It?
We were not on the podcast, but I also do just social media interviews on our GTI Facebook page, and I got to sit down with her one day for about 5 minutes or so, talking to her about her experiences on what it's like to adopt children with special needs, and telling her story about how her and her husband first got started, and I'm pretty sure she could be able to explain in great detail all about that. I don't want to necessarily steal her thunder or take the words out of her mouth, but I think you'd find it quite interesting. She definitely has an awesome background.
Before we go back to Becky and follow up on Austin's question, please tell us, you said GTI has a website or a Facebook page?
Yes, so if you want to learn more about GTI, you can just go to GrandTraversIndustries.com or just go to Facebook and search Grand Traverse Industries.
Very good, and there'll be resources there. Like most good Facebook, I've been to the website, haven't been to the Facebook yet, but I'm sure multiple activities that gives a nice well-rounded feel of pictures and people.
Oh, trust me, there's a number of different pictures on there. I mean, of all the social activities that we do and all the work that we do for the community, you'll get to see fellow team members doing that. And once you see that, I think that you'll absolutely be amazed on what these great individuals are doing for to serve our community and beyond. You know, we even reaching beyond their goals of expectations and learning new skills and gaining confidence. It's just, yeah, I just can't speak enough about how great it is.
Okay, let's go to Becky. Becky, we gathered that you have more than one child here at GTI, or maybe even generations of children who have you've sponsored through GTI. Tell us a little bit on these numbers. We're radio. We've got to be concrete. We have to explain everything.
Well, we have 20 adopted handicapped children.
20? Not concurrently.
No, they're not all at home now. No.
You must have a, you're like Mother Hubbard with a very big house.
Yes, the very big shoe, yes. And then we had, I think I had some foster, we did foster care first when my husband and I got married. So, and we weren't able to have children of our own, and we really liked working and living and caring for the special needs of all kinds, so, and races. And so we had started adopting, and the foster boys all left for different reasons. And some of them are still around in the area, but I don't think they come here anymore, but probably because of their age. But anyway, it was really nice. And it's a lot of work. It's never boring. Sometimes it's downright crazy, but GTI, you know, it's once they get past school, because Michigan has...
Is it 26?
Till 26, and that's very unusual in our country.
Is that longer than usual?
Oh, yes, and it starts earlier, too. They start working with infants as soon as they're identified. They have special needs in Michigan. They will come to the family and work with the family to work with their children. And so then when they go to school, then they go till they're 26, and that's very unusual in
but
this
what,
country.
What happens... at 26,
what happened typically is in the past they just didn't have any place to go.
So it's like once, you've had services all along, and then the bottom drops out.
Well, kind of, yeah. And there's mostly a lot of support at that point, and then we have a good educational system, and that prepares them for things. And preparing them to come to GTI is one of the significant things they do. I mean, when you go to a graduation for this for the group that. Who attends school in our area, It's like they're going to GTI, GTI, one after another, all and the just different levels of classes, because not just one big class. They have all levels of work activities and functions and community outings, and, you know, so it's very varied, you know, and they can meet the needs. I mean, most of our kids who we still have at home now are pretty severely impaired, and they just love to come, and they go out into the community and do things and go to the library, and they just do all kinds of activities, and they just love it. You know, they have a just all kinds of things they try to get the kids involved in. And the other thing I found really, really impressive is, I mean, school is kind of teaches you to follow the group and do the class and that kind of stuff. But when they come here, they want to work with what that child or
individualized
and at their level and the interest level. So some of the kids, if they want to just play with, you know, paper clips or whatever, or listen to music, they can do that. They're guided to do other activities, but they get a lot of time to do things that they enjoy. And they'll work on continuing, like, toilet training and things like that, which sometimes is lifelong for this population, you know. And but it's just, they just teach them so much, and they enjoy so many things, you know. So
as a parent of needs children, plural, what is a profile of a parent that voluntarily adopts, fosters children you've served?
Well, I mean, like, why do people do it?
Well, I mean, what would be a characteristic, or who would be a good candidate for being a parent of an adopted special needs child?
Well, most people person. That adopt special needs, not all, but many of them have their own biological adopted, or they've done foster care and ended up maybe not on purpose, but having special needs in their lives. And sometimes it's more work, but I feel like the rewards are so much better, because, I mean, you know, when our kids show how they love us and this stuff, they don't worry about a lot of that kind of embarrassing when you're 30 and you're still hugging your mama, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's just something that, and I think, like, my husband and I, we met working with the handicap that had, when back in the 70s, when the judge ordered all the institutions to, at least the big one down there, to empty and to have these people out in the community. And it made their lives so much better and fuller, and they got to experience so much things in life and go on the bus and go to schools and things that in many states they probably still don't even get to do that. So Michigan was way ahead of their time in Michigan. And then once they're in the public, I remember I was part of when they started taking out large numbers of special needs people, and we would go to the metro airport. And when we would first go there, I am not exaggerating, entire crowds of people would stop, because there'd be a bunch of us because we'd bring buses. And they would stop dead in their tracks and gawk. So what I taught my kids, because the bus people always, we always helped on the trips.
Sure.
So we would wave and smile. And so some of the people would be like, oh, they're looking at us. Oh, and they'd be embarrassed. But then other people would say, oh, they're smiling at us. And they would wave and smile back.
So it becomes receptacle. You have to start the process.
You have to start it and get them public used to the having people who are different. And that really started the reintroduction, at least in Michigan, introduction of the special needs into our everyday lives. You know, restaurants, and people would stare and gawk, and I just teach my kids, whoever I had.
So, Becky, you know, I agree with you. I think we as a society have come a long ways in accepting folks who are different. When you are out, say, shopping at a grocery store, and how would you want, you know, the general public to interact with you, to interact with your kids? Can you just talk about that a little bit? What do you want them to know about your kids?
Well, I think when we're in public, well, for one thing, a lot of the stores, I don't know if it's true all over the state, but a lot of the stores in this community hire the special needs. I mean, I have children, a couple of children who are higher functioning, who work in regular work activities. And they meet other people in their community, and they go to the you know, the office meetings and parties and whatever. So it kind of exposes them in a light that, and a lot of times you go to grocery stores and there's people with special needs, you know, stacking food and, you know, or worry, you know, bagging people's things and just all the exposure to people who are different. Because, you know, I don't remember ever feeling that way, but I might have, I don't know. But a lot of people are kind of embarrassed and kind of almost afraid. Like, what if they say something wrong? What if they're not nice? What if this person is...
You talk about the public.
The public, yeah. And they don't know quite how to act. You know, like my Molly can be very aggressive anywhere. But we kind of keep an eye on that when she's out. And what I do is I talk out loud. Now, Molly, we're going to have nice hands. So that way I'm not like... overreacting and screaming, run for your lives. But I'm alerting the people near us that this person I have might have some outbursts or issues, you know, and you do little things like that, you know, and then watching the people with all kinds of special needs in our town. I mean, one of my sons works at the movie theater, and it's what he always wanted. I don't know, because in our area, the schools take them out into the community. And so a lot of the people have had exposure to those kinds of jobs and things. And then they come here, and if they can help them go like the different companies that are willing to work with our people. Or if nothing else, they take them out in the community and go to the library. I mean, they just do a lot of things that exposes our people and the community what they're, and you know, why they're different and how you talk to them and how you react to them and stuff.
You know, I'm going to throw this to Austin and also to Micah. When I'm here at GTI, I'm hearing a different vocabulary. There are some words, what is special needs? There are some different terms. Can you think of some terminology that the general public may not be familiar with, but within the services of GTI and similar organizations? This is how you address issues.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with the term special needs. There's nothing wrong with the term disability. And one thing I really love about Austin is oftentimes on his podcast, he'll use the term differently abled. Don't you, Austin?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
And why do you use that term?
Well, because... A lot of people, when they see somebody with a disability or someone who's different than them, then they'll automatically put a label on them and be like, oh, well, okay, this person's blind. They can't get around good by themselves. They need all this extra help. Or, this person's in a wheelchair. You know, they don't really amount much to anything. Well, our main goal here at GTI and also on the Way I See It podcast, as I also like to say, is to shine a light at the end of the tunnel to let the public know that they're just people with disabilities, or somebody who is different than you are is just as valuable as you are, but they just might need to do, they just do things differently. Because actually a guest that I had on my podcast back in the summer, he's a local captain up here, he said, which is one of the greatest quotes, the only thing that's the same about us is that we're all different. So and we just want more people to be mindful and respectful of that. And so our biggest part that we have to play is education, just telling the public that you know, you are going to see some people who are different out and about, because you know, who
they're part of the community.
Right, exactly. They are a part of the community, and you know, and also because of the fact that there's some that there might be some derogatory terms out there that people may use for certain conditions. We want to break away from that, and we also want the public to be much better than that as well, so they have a better point of view and perspective, and to just have more awareness of those around them.
When we understand, we can have more compassion.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yes. So, and the more we can understand, the better. Absolutely.
Now, do we have any more questions for Becky? And I really appreciate you, Becky. Thank you for the service that you do. I know that it is personally rewarding. That's what maintains it. But you're doing a tremendous service for many children, 20 children over your lifetime?
Well, we do it because we love it, and it's not easy. But, you know, raising your normal children, pardon the expression, isn't easy either. You know, you have to do the best you can to be educated, to be helpful, to know what resources are there in your community for your child. And so we just really like it. My husband was a special education teacher, and I was the bus driver, so.
Well, you know, it makes me think of the Peace Corps saying they had at one time, the toughest job you'll ever love.
Oh, that's cool. All right. The next person I would love to have kind of speak here is our operations director, Dana Ryan. Becky referenced some of the businesses that GTI works with, and Dana's really the one who's behind all those partnerships. So I'd love to get a chance to chat with her.
Come in, Dana. We're glad to, as we, the changing of the guard here. Dana, tell us a little bit, what is your role here, and how did you get involved in GTI?
Well, I have known about GTI for many, many, many years. I've been working in the disability-related field in this community for quite a while in different capacities. In fact, Austin and I first got to know each other when he was in early elementary school here in Traverse City.
And
I was,
he's 30 years old now, so I assume he was 8, 10.
Don't age me.
Yeah, okay, sorry. But I'm trying to say something impressive about
exactly. No, but I'm very, very proud to have really honestly started my career with Austin and others in a capacity.
You have the long view.
I do. I mean, maybe not necessarily of just GTI, because I've only officially been in my role now just under 3 years, but certainly have been affiliated with many of the services and things that GTI touches for a long time. And so I was proud to come on board, and coincidentally, around that time, it was the same time Austin was getting reacquainted with GTI, and here we are again. The old saying, the band's back together. Right, Austin?
Amen, yes, yeah.
Tell me about, we're in this building. I was impressed as I were up in the Traverse City area. As I drove by, this is a huge building.
It is. And honestly, when I interviewed here, I had no idea it was this big in terms of like on the inside. And the level of services that are provided out of this building is very impressive, as well as the facility in Mancelona. I had no idea the depth of employment development and the amount of community business partners that GTI works with, and all of the things that we do here. I say that GTI really is a community center. It really is. We do so many things, and the whole vibe here is all about personal development, empowerment, support, choice, and I hope more people start to learn that about GTI, because if I was that connected in the disability related field and I didn't really know that, I don't know how many people recognize that, and we're working hard to get that message out, and GTI always has been doing that, but it really is a special place, and the staff here are incredible. I like to say that, you know, certainly staff are part of an organization for a paycheck, right? But I say that the staff that are here are really in it for what we would call a heart job, not necessarily any other reason. Although the paychecks are nice. Yeah, right.
Tell us about, I'm always trying to give people idea of spatially how big a facility is, how many employees, how many customers. As a director of operations, I'm really counting on you to help us comprehend
right,
what we have here.
Well, you know, we talked about the property. We have a large building. This organization used to be in multiple spaces, but has since consolidated right before COVID, I believe. So we have two large work floors that we do our packaging and assembly work.
Any idea how many square feet?
That, you know what, I would have to get back to you on that. So that's a math question.
Sure.
I have to check with others.
I'm guessing that we have at least 20 to 30,000 square feet.
I would say at least. And then of course there's the Mancelona facility. That's a little bit smaller, but still very impressive. We have a large, if we're talking Traverse City again, we have a large community room, two large lunch rooms, classroom spaces, multiple activity rooms, a workout room, and then our outside space is very nice. We just recently put in an outdoor, all accessible recreation park that includes a memorial garden, water fountains, and we're not done. We're adding on to both spaces, Traverse City and Mancelona. We are constructing and building community garden spaces that will feature outdoor raised planter beds with irrigation, a greenhouse area, and indoors we are going to be investing in hydroponic growing systems, all designed to empower people through healthy living habits, gardening skills, and also used as a model for community outreach. We hope to invite groups to come in and adopt a garden bed, interact with GTI, and
the guests and clients that you have.
Exactly. So it'd be a shared garden experience. We'll have garden parties and harvesting parties and butterfly releases and, you know, all kinds of outdoor fun, as well as potentially opportunities to earn a paycheck through the sale of excess produce. We are looking to partner with a couple of farmers markets, local growers, really need to learn a little bit more about that business. But really, there's so much opportunity, and we have other ideas as well.
Absolutely. Packaging industry is a traditional industry. What type of things do you package, and why is that important to businesses to have you do that function, outsource that to you?
Yeah, you know, a lot of our community partners, business partners say we really help them with the bottom line. They could not meet their production goals without the help and support of GTI. One of the strongest things that we can say to the community is that when you contract with GTI, you're gonna get workers. We will get the job done. We are not a company that, our model does not really work with the no-call, no-show kind of thing. We have a large pool of skilled workers that we can pull from. And so
they have a vested interest.
Absolutely, yes.
They're dedicated to the organization.
Yes.
And the function.
Yeah, and our staff and our job coaches. And earning a paycheck has great value to everybody. It does as well here at GTI. And we take it very seriously. We take our work ethic very seriously, hard work, high expectations, as well as, just as important as all of that, we provide the support to our workers in a variety of different ways so they can work to the best of their ability.
You talk about high expectations. Does that include quality control to the product that you put out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have that as part of our model. It's a lot of what our job coaches do. We have, you know, our work with Plascon down the street is very important. They have high quality standards, what we call the QC, and every day there's a quota that we try to make, and the QC is checked and evaluated, and we are alerted if there's any area that we need to make a correction, and we make sure to do it.
Tell us a story about the impact of GTI on of a client as well as on an employer.
Oh, there's so many stories. You know, I look at our role at Grand Traverse Pie. That's one that I like to share because I think that's another heart job, right? Literally, and you'll hear why in a minute. But everybody loves Grand Traverse Pie. Who doesn't?
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Right? So you smile when we say Grand Traverse Pie. Everybody says, oh, yum, I want some. So we have a work crew that goes there quite often. And we have workers that go there and they blend in with the other staff at Grand Traverse Pie. They feel a part of the company. They feel a part of the culture. We, GTI, has become part of Grand Traverse Pie's culture. Our work ethic, our ability to show up even through difficult times and bad weather and different things, our workers are there, they're ready to go. And they value their job. And that has really spilled over to the culture of Grand Traverse Pie. And they've told us so. They've said that in interviews. And so I feel like that's a really great story to share with our community. And one of the jobs that we do there that I think really visually and literally ties us together is, you know, the little hearts on top of the pies?
Yes.
Well, who do you think is the staff that stamps out, like cookie cutters, a lot of those hearts?
I know that because I've been to your website.
Yeah.
GTI.
GTI. And I mean, doesn't that just finish that story perfectly?
Absolutely. They put the heart on the pie.
Yeah, literally. And
What's very also interesting, I gathered by looking at your website, is you can be scalable, that there's seasonal work in some of these industries and so on and so forth. And how do you keep a workforce on hold or during the highs and the lows? And GTI can help you level that load for you and fill in those gaps.
You know, I credit that to Mike Moore, our Director of Industrial Operations. He is the person for a very long time that has coordinated that and really has a good feel for the seasonal work and what's coming and going and can estimate timelines. And our staff also is really good with that. Mike Moore and our staff work together really well to coordinate that. And sometimes, right, we do have a lull in work, but there are other things that we do here as well, including all of our really great social programs that, hey, why not take a little break? Because I'm sure that Mike Moore has a load of work around the corner.
Absolutely. Well, Micah and Austin, let's take a break. Thank you so much, Dana, for sharing another aspect in the employment aspect on production of GTI.
Thank you.
Austin, we're back, and will you introduce our next guest?
Yes, and so our next guest is Whitney Kranz. She is one of our program managers on the work floor here at GTI, and she'll explain to us all about what goes on a daily basis on the work floor and the different jobs that our team members do. And so welcome, Whitney.
Well, thank you.
Whitney, you have a lot of questions to answer. You're loaded up. Tell us all about it.
You know, just give me the first question and I am ready.
So, Austin, question number one.
All right, so Whitney, explain to us what a program manager does here at GTI.
Well, there's a lot that goes into that. There's, you know, kind of out in the open scenes and then a lot of stuff behind the scenes as well. We, you know, clearly the most obvious things as far as job coaching and helping with the quality control of work. We also work in activity aspects of things.
So you have fun too?
Oh yeah, we have a good time too. And usually work is a really good time
balance
as well.
Yeah.
Work is usually a good time too. We are here to support our guys in every aspect of what it would take to be a part of community. And that includes the socialization part of it, the fun part, the, you know, and really to us as staff and our clients here, work is fun too. More of the behind the scenes things, you know, we come up with goals with our clients to help them achieve something new each year. Every year we sit down and have a meeting, we go through a series of questions and decide, what are we gonna work on? We'll do goals for your work, for your work out in the community, for socializing an activity, or, you know, experience volunteer work in the community. And they work really hard towards these goals throughout the year, and we help them, we track it for them and help them stay on track for it. So
we all got to have accountability and goals.
Yes.
So can you explain to us real quickly how our team members contribute to the jobs here at GTI on our work floors? So like what kind of jobs do they do, and how does that evolve?
There are a lot of different jobs that we do here on the work floor. And usually a lot of them are broken down into different steps. And we thoroughly enjoy that because depending on anybody's ability, there's a portion of that job that they can do. One of, for an example of something that we've done recently is our work from down the road, the tar guards. We package them into bags. They're manufactured in a machine in the backside of one of our work floors. We'll break it down to where one person is weighing them out so that there's 100 in a certain container. And then another person is taking the stickers and placing them on the bags that they go on.
Okay.
And then the next step is to take those weighed out containers of tar guards and put them into the bags. So that's just one example of how we will break it down, and because not everybody likes every part of every job, but everyone can find something that they love to do out of each job.
Very good, very good. Well, Micah, you know, we've got to save a little bit of time for touring this facility. Do you have any questions for Whitney?
Yeah, I, you know, Whitney, you are someone who loves our guys so much, and it's obvious by the way you interact with them that you really enjoy your job. Can you share maybe why you enjoy your job? Like, what is it about folks with disabilities that keeps you coming into work every day, excited to work? Just talk a little bit about working with our guys.
I think just their individuality, their senses of humor, their light steps through life. They are inspiring with the way that they handle what the world throws at them and just move on through it as Amen. If, you know, and we're here to support that. You know, I think that
it's another way of looking at through somebody else's eyes.
Absolutely. And we all crave an independence. You know, we see it from all humans, regardless of their ability, as our children when they're super small. They want to, I do it myself, you know.
Yes.
And with our guys, a lot of them are not capable of living lives where they're very independent. They live in group homes. They have guardians. They do things where they are not in charge. They get to come here and be in charge of
really?
Something to gain that independence. And then they work independently, they earn their paycheck, and then they go and spend their paycheck. And I think that sense of independence and seeing the joy in what, when they accomplish that from start to finish. And it really makes you feel good to be a part of that process and helping them gain that independence.
And let me just reflect on that real quickly. I was reading something on Facebook, and this father was saying that their child had some disability, and he was at home just doing video games all day and whatever. And there's a guy in the neighborhood that the homeowners association kind of wanted to throw out, but the kids would go over there and he would give them purpose and meaning to life. And they had more functionality, and he went to bat and says, we need this guy in our neighborhood. And we need your clients in our neighborhood.
Yes.
Thank you, Whitney.
Thank you.
Micah, what are we going to see in the last few minutes of our program?
Yeah, so I want to take, Austin and I would love to take you for a tour, love to show you our warehouses, show you some of our day program rooms, and kind of be able to brush shoulders a little bit with some of our folks.
Okay, let's go. Now, Micah, we've moved out here into the warehouse area. I see racks that are up to the ceiling of like 30, 40 feet high on one side. I see machines with long things. I see kind of classroom and workstations in another room. We're right in the doorway. What are we seeing?
Yeah,
here?
Yeah. So these are our two large work floors. In the older work floor you see here on the left, we have
with the high ceilings,
and
the pallets.
Correct. Yep. So this
racks.
Is mostly devoted to our bag liner operation.
Okay.
We have a contract with the state of Michigan, that's our biggest customer, that we produce trash can liners for the whole state. So
okay.
Prisons and government buildings and DNRs and things like that, we are the ones who make those bags.
Okay, this is where it begins.
Yes. Yep. So we just got another 3-year contract with the state. Michigan's really great in that they specifically set aside the work for individuals with disabilities. So only organizations like GTI who employ folks with disabilities can even bid on that work. So really grateful to live in such a wonderful state.
So we see rolls of plastic, they're cut to certain lengths, they're certain widths already,
yep.
But they're cut to certain lengths. What is this room? That's on the big warehouse type floor. What's this other room with tables and chairs?
Yep, this is our smaller work floor, and this is where a lot of our packaging and assembly takes place. So you'll see boxes that come in over there. They come in flat. Our folks will fold them up into their box shape. That's one step. Another step is gonna be putting in a liner inside of it.
Okay.
This station over here is similar work. So we're doing small packaging and assembly. So it may be, you know, putting two products in a bag, sealing the bag, and then putting a couple of labels on the bag. Simple type work like that, but it's great work for our guys.
Well, when we buy something that needs assembly, you see all those nuts and bolts and whatever. Somebody had to put those together.
Yes, and a lot of those folks are ours, you know, and it's just, it's a beautiful way to earn a paycheck.
Very good.
So,
nice
so Paul, we're going to be doing a little recording here, so you've got to be a little bit quiet, okay?
Hello.
All right, so, and over here, we are in our day program. So we have several classrooms, as you'll see, kind of off to the right. And in there, it's
kind of like a school.
It does. It's very comparable to a school. So similar classroom settings, they'll kind of have their home base where they'll spend time doing activities and stuff for the day. And then they'll go out to the community from there, doing volunteering, doing different activities and fun social things out in the community.
So we have four or five classrooms here.
Four.
Four classrooms. And yep. Then we have a large open space that the classrooms surround.
Yes, and that's where we're in right now. We call this our party hall. So anytime we do a carnival or a Christmas party or something like that, this is the space that we're taking.
You could do relay runs and all
yes.
that.
Yeah.
And it's, each classroom has its own graduation of abilities.
Yes, based on their needs. So there may be one room who doesn't have the ability to feed themselves, needs help with personal care. The next room maybe has personal care covered, but has more social challenges and interacting with others. So, and they're staffed appropriately according to that.
So we're coming to the end of the program. I have Austin Draga here with me, and I have Micah Havens. What final words do you have summarizing our visit today? I'm going to let Micah go first, and Austin, you get the final word.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, God has made everybody beautiful in their own way, regardless of...
making it real.
Yeah, regardless of whatever sort of disability you have. And I tell you, we have a Savior who serves takes it really personally how we care for the least of these. You know, he said, you do this for them, you do this for me. So if he's willing to identify that strongly with somebody who's different, I want to be the same way.
I was thinking about saying the same thing and you took it right out of my mouth. Austin, you have the last minute to close out.
Absolutely. Well, I'm totally on board with Micah with this. GTI is all about community, and we're all about people of all abilities and serving them and educating the public. So at the end of the day, I once again want to ask everybody to pray for GTI as well as praying for the Way I See It podcast with Austin Draga. Find us both GTI and the Way I See It on your social media feeds. Just go to any podcast site or our website or our Facebook page to learn more information, and click that subscribe button. And once again, we're looking for 1,000 subscribers for the Way I See It by the end of the year. And we want more and more people to learn about organizations like GTI and Community Mental Health and any other one in your area. Just go online and Google it and find any. If you know somebody or have a family friend or a loved one who's looking for services, I would highly encourage you to search for that in your local community area.
Very good. For Strong Tower Radio, I'm Tom Bajur on location at Grand Traverse Industry. God bless.
Amen.
Until next time. Bye now.
Bye.
All right.
All right, we did it!
How
quiet
am I?
You did great, Paul. I'm very proud.
I think we'll save that yahoo or wahoo or whatever it was.